create their own database that they draw from. They'll input, take the medicine, because I know they use it a lot for doing, trying to find things that cross tie between one study and another study, and things that back other things up that support a concept or a theory, or bring out a pattern or whatever. And they'll feed in a wealth full of their medical books and studies and papers and whatnot into a database. They will just research out of that database. So you've got your own source. You're not going into the world at large. So you're controlling where it gets its information, which would make it more reliable. If you're using just the general, like ChatGPT, that picks up what Bob wrote on the internet 10 years ago, it picks it up and says, oh, yeah, here's a piece of information. Well, you know, nobody knows who Bob was, and it's already 10 years old, but it still remembers it. So, yeah, I think a lot of it depends on what the database is that it pulls the information out of that will validate or not the information that it gives out.
Yeah, that's actually a good point, and that makes perfect sense. You know, if you had a really good existing knowledge base or whatever, and you put that all in on your own system and then used your own LLM and to parse through the information, yeah, then it would be definitely spot on. It would be probably 100% accurate. It would be a pretty good tool for stuff like that. And I wonder, you know, when you already have a huge, vast knowledge base or whatever and stuff. I do still find it handy for some of the technical stuff, because sometimes I run into a problem or whatever, and especially with Linux and that, and a lot of times AI can spit you back an answer in, you know, a fraction of the time compared to, you know, a couple of years ago. I remember trying to research things and spending, you know, like 3-4 hours on forums and different Reddit posts and, you know, trying to piece it all together, and now, you know, it can come back and, you know, with maybe 2 or 3 prompts, and it comes back with an answer that's, you know, 80% workable.
Yeah, copy that. I kind of do the same thing when I'm searching for information. I'll take my best guess at a wording, and even the way the sequence of which you use the words in the search make a difference, because it seems to prioritize the first words and less so on the second, third, and fourth type thing. And I'll do a search on something, and quite often I'll find what I'm looking for, but if I'm looking for something obscure and it doesn't come up, I'll go through the results, and I'll find, based on the results, a different wording to search for the same thing I'm looking for. It's just instead of screw, it has bolt, or instead of bolt, it uses the term screw to reference what I'm looking for. So I'll search based on screw instead of bolt and find it. Or I'll find a part number, manufacturer's part number that one place refers to. And it may not give me the information I want, but now I have a part number I can search and find stuff on. I just did that for my lawnmower motor. I just put back together and had some bolts left over, and I figured, I wonder where I left them out. I think they belong to the tiller, because I have the guard off of that too, but there's still a couple in there. I'm wondering where they belong, and so I was going through the parts blow up to see if I could figure out which ones the bolts belong to. I may never find out, but it still runs, so I guess something falls off, I don't know why.
Yeah, I've been finding that too, part numbers, and if I'm doing computer stuff, I'll put a lot of times the software version or the version number, and a lot of times it's a lot more accurate, because even like, you know, say you're looking up with something with the Meshtastic or something, there's so many different versions of it that it just gives you raw answers. But if you get a little bit more narrowed down and tell it which specific version of the Flash you're looking at, and it usually comes back with a pretty good answer. But man, yeah, you're absolutely right too. When you're looking for obscured stuff, it has no idea what to do with it. A few weeks ago, I was trying to find out what the control frequencies were for the P25 network in playing it, and it just started spitting me random frequencies, and I kept saying, no, that's not the right frequency, and it's like, oh, yes, you're right, that isn't the right frequency, it's this, and I was like, no, that's not the right frequency either, and it would spit me back another one saying, oh, I apologize, I was wrong twice. I think it came back with a wrong answer about 5 times and eventually just gave up. It wouldn't search anymore. It told me that it was too challenging to find it, and it was such a small area that it couldn't find anywhere on the internet that had accurate frequencies anymore, and it just gave up. And I was like, what? This is so weird that it just gave up. And the only reason I kind of knew it was the wrong frequency is because I was kind of picking it up with my scanner gears, but I had a pretty good idea which the control stations were. I just wasn't 100% sure, and yeah, neither did it. So that was an interesting one.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what P25 was, so I just Googled it here, and well, yeah, and yeah, they give you the range, but they don't give you ranges for specific frequencies for specific spots. But then I wasn't looking for it either, so. Anyway, I'd best get back to doing something else. Been yakking on the radio here for coming on 2 hours, so time to take a break and go find something to drink.
No, that sounds good. I should probably get a couple things here together too and then retire for the night. So, but yeah, it was nice having a chat with you, so I'll say 73s. And we'll catch you another time. BA4, CJP will be clear on your final.
Copy that. I'll let you know how I make out in the batteries, how my fiddling around, whether it works or doesn't. 73 is for now. Call and have yourself a good week. Stay cool and stay safe. VE5, Golf Tango Whiskey. We're clear.
VE5 Golf Tango Whiskey, VE5 Alpha Echo Hotel.
VE5 Alpha Echo Hotel, good evening, and how are you this fine evening? It's been a while since I've heard from you.
Good evening, George. It should have been interesting listening to the last while there. I had nothing to add to the chit and chat time, so I didn't come in there. But this battery talk has been pretty interesting. I've had some education on that one, too. And my daughter is in Roswell now in New Mexico. And apparently what some of the places are doing down there already, the fire departments, is when you have a collision with an electric vehicle, you're going to have a battery fire, and water does not extinguish it. It continues to burn underwater. So what they've been doing is taking a tank or truck of water with a trailer on behind, and then they drop the tailgate on the trailer, winch the car, burning car up into it, I'll haul it out to the nuisance grounds where it's safe to have it, and they'll let it burn out for 16 or 18 hours. You know, that way they don't get the mess around it. But some of them are starting to have that problem.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering what they would do with that, because I know lithium is autogenous. It self feeds itself air, they're not the easiest thing to put out. You basically have to suffocate them. I'm thinking maybe foam might do it, because it basically deprives the, well, no, that wouldn't either, because that just deprives the oxygen and generates its own. It would have to be something that would literally cool it down, or some sort of chemical extinguishment. But yeah, I don't know. I know they're nasty when they get started.
Well, that's I guess down there they don't want the mess to go in the ground or polluting their groundwater or whatever, so they could put it out someplace in the hazardous waste area until they can deal with it. but apparently some of the fire departments are starting to have to go that way. So I wonder about it all on the scene too. And then there was one 2 second or 20 second clip maybe of a Texas car, and he was pulled over on the road. Normally the whole under the engine department was fire on the pavement, and some guy standing there looking at it. The guy was not getting out of the car, so he finally went over and grabbed him to get him out, and the whole front end of the car went up. So what was that burning? Nobody shuts off the gas pump when they get in a collision. Would that be a foolish thing to do?
You'd think normally when you get into an accident or whatever, you pull off the side of the road, normally you shut the car off. But yeah, any kind of an accident, the first thing you should do is shut the engine off. It doesn't guarantee that you don't have power someplace, because the battery's still there, and if it shorts, you definitely get sparks. And if you've got fuel around, any kind of a spark can ignite it pretty quickly. But yeah, who knows? Car fires are nasty. And not only that, is these shock-absorbing bumpers are little time bombs in a fire, because they pressure up and then go bang. And if you're standing behind it, it'll knock you flying.
Well, I learned something else new then. Thanks for telling me that I don't have a vehicle anymore. But, so I guess maybe I'm one of the lucky guys in there. Old Mother Nature's left me around for 94 years, so I don't have much to do anymore. And as far as lead acids, I found that keeping a trickle charge on them will kill them. You know, if you go over about 13.8 or whatever. So getting the charge into them is a little bit tricky there. It's interesting the way you guys are doing it, aren't we? So I don't have anything that really needs it. So I enjoyed the visit tonight and the talk and everything else. And it's been an interesting evening. And it's getting a little bit static on your signals there sometimes too.
Oh yeah, well maybe I'm not keying the mic as cleanly as I could, but... I sandbagged on a few conversations. I was listening to one there the other day on grounding electrical circuits in the house and some of the things that have changed over the years. But, yeah, I looked at when I was in the fire department years ago with a new their shock absorber-type bumpers. It'll take a little bit of a bump. Not a heck of a lot anymore, but they will take a little bit. And, because they're compressed cylinders, if they get on fire and they get overheated, if you're standing in front of them and they go pop, you can end up in trouble. They tell you if you've got a car on fire in the front end or the back end, is you fight it from the side, so that you don't, if it does pop, it doesn't get anybody. But that's the fun part of radio. There's all sorts of information out there, and a lot of it's quite interesting. And after 94 years, you've touched on an awful lot of stuff, Oscar. It's a good thing. I hope I get hit the same age as you do. I've got another 20 to do just to catch up to you, so don't run too fast or I'll never catch you.
Oh, I have to hold the wife's hand. Primary caregiver here, and she, the doctor collapsed her blood pressure after she had a late concussion. So I was primary caregiver. There was some damage on the brain at that point. But I guess Mama Nature's leaving me around long enough to look after her. So I sure hope you do well and enjoying it anyway. It says, I'm still retired electrician, so I'm at almost 30 years now, 22 years at Plains Health Center on electrical maintenance and a bunch of stuff before that. So the first hobby was high fidelity music, and then I had a little bit of photography in there, and then I got into amateur radio. So I built a few amplifiers and stuff like that in there. It's been interesting. So old Mama Nature leading me around, and I'm